Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Russell Brown is with us. Russell is an original member of our Brain Trust. He is the author of a number of books on buying and selling a business, including preparing your business for sale, including strategies for successfully buying or selling a business. He is our business buying and selling expert. Oh, by the way, has got an outstanding software program called BizPricer that you'll get a lot out of, and he's here to talk to us about whether now is a good time to buy or sell a business. Russell Brown, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me back, and I'm glad to come on and try to talk about this minefield of buying and selling businesses. I mean, like everything else in the Main Street world, and everything's kind of up in the air right now. Mm-hmm. It's just so many things are different than what we've ever seen, and so you have to be very careful as you proceed through this, just as you do with anything else, and whether you're buying a business or selling a business. Now, activity is still going on. I mean, things are happening, deals are being done, but they're few and far between. It's much harder to buy a good business today, and also much harder to sell one.
How do you recast the numbers? That's the thing that I'm trying to figure out. I mean, whether I found a good business to buy or not, or you have or not, whether we have a business to sell or not that could be a good deal. Those are, as you say, those are with us always. But the deal that if I'm a buyer and you're a seller, Russell, your numbers mean not that much to me. They're indicators, but the promise of me owning this business in the future depends on my ability to make something out of it in the future, which means that I have to recast your numbers. I have to assume make certain assumptions about the future, and put that into my projections, so I know how much to pay you, so I know how much money I'm going to need, how much cash I'm going to need, how many employees I'm going to need, and all that. And at this moment in time, Russell, that's hard to do, isn't it?
Well, it's extremely hard to do. There are some very good businesses out there that if you try to do it, you're going to find that it's, at least the seller's going to find that the value of their business based on income, traditional income approach, is dramatically lower than it might have been, mm-hmm, a year or two before. That's for most businesses, not all businesses. So one way, if you're a buyer or a seller looking to buy or sell, then what you might do is be very, very careful. Look carefully into those businesses that are doing well in this economic climate, and there are some. Mm-hmm. And so depending whether it's retail or service or whatever, there still are companies that are doing well. So be very careful in doing this concept of due diligence. It's probably more important. It's always been extremely important, but it's even more important now in the early going even. Never mind looking at the specific details of the business, but doing your due diligence to find out which businesses are weathering this storm and which ones are most likely to continue to do well after an economic recovery begins.
Russell, it seems to me that there have always been three partitions for evaluating a business to buy. because you always look at the history. That's the first partition of information. You always look at what the business is doing now, right at this very moment, and then you look at what you think you can do about it in the future.
Exactly.
And that's always been there, but it seems that those partitions are a little more difficult to read right now. Not the history so much, but in terms of where we are at this moment, I've been saying for a while that 2009, I think, is going to be a standalone year, almost a throwaway year, meaning that it's not indicative of the past, and it's probably not going to be indicative of the future. What do you think about that? And I want you to hold that thought, and I want to get you to answer that when we come back after these messages. We'll take a quick one, folks. I'm very anxious to hear what Russell thinks about this. And, folks, I'm not being negative. I'm not trying to be dour about 2009. I don't think I have to do that. I think we already understand everything, all of that. But it's important that we understand how this year will compare to next year. Stand by, 22.
And you ain't had enough to eat.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And when you get there, you can check out my blog. You can check out my knowledge base, askjim.biz. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And also the archives and articles and Brain Trust members. We got something there that you can do in 5 seconds. We got something you can do in 15 minutes. And everything in between, everything under the small business sun, right there at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Russell Brown is our guest, and he's the guy who developed the outstanding software program to help you buy a business called BizPricer. And we're going to get him to tell us about that in just a little bit. Russell, as we went to the break, I was talking about 2009 being a lost year, and it being a unique year. Not you know, typically you think about the year that you're in as being indicative or informative or instructive about where either where we've been or where we're going. It's either more one or the other. It's either more about where we've been or more about where we're going, depending on where you are in the cycle. But I think 2009 may be a standalone year. I think it's possible. And folks, I'm only talking about it like this, not to try to be negative, but to get our attention about planning, and which is buying a business is all about planning. And Russell, I think it's possible that we'll look back on 2009 a year or two hence, and we'll consider it to be the throwaway year, the lost year. Not you know, Japan had the lost decade. I don't think we're going to have a lost decade, but I do think we're going to have a lost year, and I think it's 2009. If you agree, do you agree with me? And if so, and but whether you do or not, how does that fit into the prospect of buying a business?
Well, Jim, I agree with you from a broad perspective. How it's going to relate into any of these financial efforts, either valuations or projections or whatever, how that's going to relate is probably, if it ever becomes a standard on how to deal with this anomaly year, then that's to be something determined in the future. You know, there are standards set forth by the accounting boards and so on.
Right.
And I think that they aren't. I know they're not nimble enough to make, you know, to be making changes this year or next year. Even. I mean, it's going to have to be a look back kind of thing, and perhaps there will be some accounting process that in valuations and things that look at streams of earnings and so on and from the past that will be handled differently. But again, to stay in accordance, you know, keep valuations in accordance with current accounting standards, things that will hold up under scrutiny by the people that count in the field, then you have to kind of go with the way it is. which means that this is typically for a small business, this is going to be a big down year, and last year perhaps as well. But when you do your evaluation process, the catch though is that this is all part, quote unquote, supposedly all part of the normal business cycle. You know, we've always lived with recessions and mm-hmm. Boom times. You know, and I think the thing that annoys us, you and I know, in talking to you privately the most, is that this could have been avoided. I mean,
this isn't a regular cycle.
Right. This is not a normal cycle because it really was precipitated by greed and
extreme leverage,
yeah,
out of control leverage.
Yeah, extreme.
And bad government policies.
Right. Extreme recklessness on the part of the people in the system that had our money in the banking and investment banking system. And then exacerbated by, the complete ineptness of the government, mm-hmm. as I see it, to date.
But is there opportunity in all that for somebody to buy a business? Does this create opportunity to buy a business? And it does if you're able to find a business that maybe has promise. That certainly, I shouldn't say maybe, that has promise, but maybe the owner of that business hasn't managed it well, hasn't dealt with the changes recently well, and has found themselves in a situation where they need to sell. Isn't that where the best opportunities are right now?
Well, they are, but again, the risk goes up dramatically because, you know, the business may be so damaged that it's not recoverable even in better economic times. So you have to, you know, that due diligence process I keep talking about is that, you know, you're just going to have to do such a hard look at this and try to assess, why is this business down? Why are things going bad? Is it just the macroeconomic climate that in general is doing this, or is there fundamental underlying structural changes? I mean, you know, for example,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, as an extreme example, if you're an auto parts manufacturer, one of the small ones that are doing new auto parts production. I mean, you know, there may be major structural changes there that company may never ever come back again.
What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be. It seems to me that you're going to need to buy platforms for the future, not so much a business model, but a platform for the future. When we come back, I'm going to get Russell to address that issue about the difference between a platform and a business model. Tintail, stay with us. It took me by surprise. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And have a great visit with our good friend Russell Brown, the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and the outstanding software program, BizPricer. Russell, give us the website. Tell us how we can find your books and your product.
Okay. You can just go to BizPricer.com, BizPricer.com, and you'll find all kinds of free information, lots of articles about buying and selling and valuing businesses, as well as some of the products that we have. We've got some of the books and the software that I've authored, as well as other selected authors, people I've picked as the best of the best out there. For example, some books by work guides and things like that from the founder of the International Business Brokers Association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
What about if they buy your program? What are you going to you sweeten the deal for them a little bit, won't you?
Oh, I do. All you got to do is say you heard it on the Jim Blasingame show. If you buy the BizPricer Business Valuation Software, we throw in my best-selling book, Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business.
So, folks, that's a heck of a deal. Thank you for that, Russell. BizPricer.com is the website. Russell, I mentioned as we went to the break, you know, maybe there are opportunities out there, and you and I both know that as much as we don't like 2009, we both know that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to get wealthy because of what they the steps they take in 2009. They may not get wealthy in 2009, but over the next few years, the things they did, the decisions they made to buy a business, to run a business, to whatever they did, they're going to get wealthy because there are opportunities out there right now. And so one of my questions is, if you've got the ability to sort of imagine where things are going, that where the economy is going, where the marketplace is going, there might be an opportunity not just to buy a business model, but maybe to buy a platform. Meaning, when I say platform, I mean a business that is structured for maybe not to keep doing what it's doing at this moment, but it's structured to be able to launch a new endeavor or maybe a variation of the current business model for the future. It's more of a platform than a business model. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. You know, when you look at the business, always if you can look at it, as you say, in a light of, well, this is a platform. And let's just take even a simple, you know, we talked about automotive parts manufacturers. But even a more simple thing than that is like a retail business that if you have your mindset on a retail and you're looking at these different say it's a clothing store or whatever, you got to keep in mind when you're looking and thinking about the platform value is that, you know, maybe this business isn't doing all that great, but the location is super, and
customers are used to coming in there.
Yeah, people are. This is a high traffic count, foot and drive, and all of the good things that go into location for retail. And even though the store itself is not doing well, or maybe selling products that are in trouble at the moment, and don't have a really bright future, you know, maybe just getting it to get that lease on that space. Let's say there's a transferable lease that's available for many years. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting a hold of that, to me, that's the platform.
Let me throw another thing in here, Russell. There are newspapers, in fact, there's one newspaper, I'm trying to remember where it is, where the newspaper is closing up, but people are going to buy the platform for a song, basically, and relaunch that online. It's going to be an online publication.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's a good example.
Yes, out of the box thinking. As long as you can see clearly in your mind what the future is, what you would do, there are great opportunities out there right now for buying a business. I think it's a wonderful time, if you're able to buy a small business and get your foot in the door. The prices will probably never be lower that you can get it at. But there's lots of different problems now. There's the financing issues, which have always been a problem, but they're worse now, you know, and we all know why. And of course, weathering the rest of this downturn, who knows how long it is.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the big things, is we don't know exactly how long things are going to be going. And if you wait too long, if you wait till everything's completely clear, then the opportunity may not be there. Hey, Russell, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much.
Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, bizpricer.com. Be sure to tell him that you heard about him on my show, and he'll sweeten the pot when you buy his program. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.